When Jesus Christ was born into this world, circumstances were far from perfect. In fact, they were very, very difficult. The Romans were in power, and they'd been in power for several decades. And the Jewish people felt oppressed. They wanted to be independent, they wanted to be free, but they were under foreign occupiers. The Roman emperor had set up a puppet king, Herod the Great, and history records that this man was a tyrant. He oppressed all who opposed him. He was tyrannical, a malevolent king. It was also a very low point in terms of religion. There was a lot of bigotry. The Jewish people couldn't stand non-Jews. They couldn't stand Gentiles. They hate anybody who'd intermarried with Gentiles, so they couldn't stand the Samaritans. There was radicalism. It was on the rise. There was a group of zealots who carried around weapons, knives in their back pockets. They were hoping that they could overthrow the Romans. And religion was very formalistic. What do I mean by that? Well, religion was just an outward show. It wasn't a humble serving of God. It seems to be that the religious leaders were in it for power and for money and prestige. So when Jesus Christ came to this world, circumstances were far from favorable. Romans, well, they were hated by the Jews. And the Jews, their religion was a sham. Now, tonight I want us to just consider the story of the wise men. They came from afar. We're told in the Bible that they didn't come to worship the baby Jesus. The reading that we've just had tells us that they came to worship the infant child. In other words, Mary and Joseph had stayed in Bethlehem for some time. And these men had come on a long, long journey. Now the incident is very curious, isn't it? A star. And the text tells us that it was his star. So the star was something to do with the Messiah, something to do with Jesus. The Bible says that it appeared to them when they're in the east. It does not say that they followed that star from the east all the way to Bethlehem. It doesn't say that. The text says that they came in search of the Christ child to worship him. They came to Jerusalem. They spoke with Herod. Herod, through the chief priests and scribes, indicated what the prophecy of Malachi had said, of Micah had said, that the Christ child would be born in Bethlehem. And then they saw the star again. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy, and it led them to where the Christ child was. And they brought unusual gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And perhaps the most curious thing of all is that these wise men bowed down and worshipped a human being that was just maybe a few months old, or perhaps a year or so. They bowed down and worshipped him. Now, I wonder what you make of all this. Some people say it's just fantasy, don't they? And if you watch Christmas films have a lot to do with stars in, don't they? And we like to think of the wonder of it, and somehow many people think, well, it's nice to think about, but it's a bit fabricated, it's a bit made up. This idea of a star, this idea of men coming all the way from the east and bowing down before a little child, it can't be true. But I'd like us to consider it this evening. When I was walking this afternoon, I came back to our house and the lights were on and the curtains were drawn back. And I looked up into our bedroom and I'd forgotten that above my bed was an oil painting. And on that oil painting that my wife had painted while she was in Brazil was three wise men. Well, there could have been four because they were on their camels and there's a fourth alongside them. And there was a beautiful star that she painted above Bethlehem. And these scenes, in one sense, are magical to us, aren't they? But we need to ask, what is it all about? Is it history? Is it true? The very least that this story should do to you is to cause you to ask the question, who is Jesus Christ? It's beyond doubt that he was a historical figure. There's so much evidence. Look at the life of Julius Caesar. And there's very little historical records compared to the records that we have about Jesus Christ. Not only the manuscripts that we have, which are biblical manuscripts, but historical records outside of the Bible. Well, let's consider these wise men. Let's follow them from the east as they go to Bethlehem. Now, perhaps you're already asking, who were they? We hear of the word kings, don't we? So we think, are they royalty? Well, kings is the word that we've imposed on the text. The text doesn't tell us they're kings. It tells us that they are wise men. They came from the east, probably the Babylonian area, Arabia, and they're thought to be astrologers. If you look into the Old Testament at the time of Daniel, when he lived in Babylon, they were wise men. These were advisors to kings like Nebuchadnezzar, or Darius had his wise men. He was over the Medes and the Persians. And these men were called to interpret dreams. They were not only counselors of the king, but they were advisors who were to help a king. Now, our wise men, we can't be exactly sure who they were. It doesn't really matter. My question is this. How did they know a king, the king of the Jews, had been born? One theory is that they were studying ancient texts. In fact, some believe they were studying the book of Daniel. Daniel lived in Babylon. And there's prophecy. It speaks about certain dates and times, 70 weeks and all sorts of dates. And you can carefully work out the date or the rough era when the Christ child would be born. But I think that's very unlikely that they had hold of those scrolls. Some say, well, perhaps they knew the prediction in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, that speaks about a star coming out of Jacob and a scepter rising out of Israel. Perhaps, but we're not told that. The one thing that we are told is this, is that they saw a star in the east, and they knew that that star somehow pointed to the Messiah of the Jews, and they knew that it meant that a king had been born. You might say, how? Well, I would like to ask you this. How is it that today, in the Middle East, places like Iran, Muslims have dreams, and dreams of Jesus Christ, dreams of the one that their religion says is not the saviour of the world. And these Muslims seek him out, and many of them find him and are converted. I have no difficulty with this. I have no difficulty with God using a star. Now, whether it was a supernova, whether it was a constellation of planets, some mentioned Jupiter, Saturn, some go back in history and look at what sort of stars might have been there. It doesn't really matter. What we know is this, is that this star was a sign to them that a king had been born. So they followed it, or at least they followed it once they were in Palestine. It must have been a long journey, a difficult journey, but as we've just had that reading, we're not told of all the difficulties they faced. In fact, we're told of how God facilitated their finding of Christ, how he used Herod, how he used the chief priests and the scribes, how he then used this star to lead them to Bethlehem. You see, these were Gentile peoples. And God was saying to the nations that the Christ child had been born, yes, for the Jews, amongst the Jews. The first visitors were shepherds, Jewish shepherds, but the Christ child was also for the world. And so these Gentiles come, and God facilitates their coming. Now, I think it's wonderful that God uses even Herod and the chief priests. Remember we said that Herod was a tyrannical, awful person? You could say they went to the very worst of people to go. They shouldn't have gone to him. They made a mistake. Well, they didn't know. They just went there. They assumed that he would have some knowledge that another king had been born. And he turns to his entrusted people who he feels can give him the answers. Religious people, the chief priests and scribes. And they, in turn, know the scriptures. And they talk of what the prophet Micah has said, that out of Judah will come a ruler. Though Bethlehem is the least amongst all the rulers of Judah, out of Judah and out of Bethlehem there will come a king who will shepherd Israel. God uses false religion. I say false because it was a sham religion. They were making money. They weren't following God's laws. It was a desperate time. The leaders were the ones who would crucify Christ eventually. God used them to point the way. And he used this king. Isn't God a good God? God's ways are not our ways. We like to think in the way things will turn out. We like to use reason and logic. We specify how things must go in life. But God is the one who orchestrates. God is the one who leads. Now let's consider Herod's response. We read this. Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." They didn't believe that there was anything untoward in that. You could say these wise men were guileless. You could say that they were gullible. They assumed that this man was sincere. But we know, if you know the story, that Herod was anything but sincere. He was cunning, he was crafty, he called them secretly. There was pretense, there was duplicity. He says, "Give me word, tell me where he is, and I'll come and worship him." And he had not one desire to worship him, but rather to get rid of this rival king. You see, when the message came, when the news that a king had been born, we read that Herod was troubled. Troubled because it was a rival. And we read also that all Jerusalem was troubled. As news began to spread, people must have thought, well, why should Gentile people, the ones we hate, why should they have come from afar? Why should they be heralding the birth of our Messiah? What's this all about? Why is it not our religious leadership which is telling us about the birth? Herod was troubled, and the people in Jerusalem was troubled, and Herod was duplicit. Oh, how foolish he was. He was not a fearer of God. But you know, I want to say this, pretense and lying is a strong part of the human makeup. I was listening to Radio 4 this week, and there was a man, a celebrity, being interviewed. And he loved his dogs, and he felt that his dogs had all sorts of different personalities, and he felt that he could relate to them. And as the man interviewed him, it's very interesting what he said about his relationship with his dogs. He said, "Well, these dogs, they're innocent, they're straightforward, they're honest," he said, "not like human beings that are duplicit." Isn't that true? Not just politicians, not just Boris Johnson, people who say one thing and do another, But as you analyze your own life, is it not true what the Bible says? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Herod displays that there. We hide it. He displays it because we know the whole of the story. But the wonderful thing is that Jesus Christ had come into the world as a Savior to rescue us from our sins, to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, to give us hope, to give us a new life, to take away the punishment that we deserve. Jesus had come to rescue men and women from themselves, from their own evil hearts. The message of Christmas is not just the message of the birth of the baby, but is the message of the Son of God who will go to the cross to die for sinners like you and I. But then let's think about the gifts for a moment. They came, they found him, they'd been rejoicing when they saw that star again. God had been with these wise men. They were led to where the Christ child was. Perhaps now he was in a home, certainly no longer in that stable-like structure. And they come and they present their gifts to him. Gold, fit for a king. Frankincense, all the Jews knew what frankincense was about. They used it in worship. And myrrh, was used in different ways. But one way the Jews used myrrh was to embalm bodies. And surely these gifts were symbolic. You see, they fell down, they prostrated themselves, and they worshipped the infant Christ. They were saying that you are our Lord, you are our King. They offered him gold. You are worthy. They fell down and worshipped him. Frankincense. They knew that he deserved worship. And the Bible says that we should worship no one but God. There should be no idols. We should never worship a human being, a celebrity, a parent. We should never give honor and praise to human beings. Only God deserves worship. And here are these wise men worshiping the infant Christ. And myrrh. Is myrrh not symbolic and prophetic that one day Jesus Christ would be taken down off the cross and embalmed and put in a tomb? Often we think, don't we, about the manger, and it speaks of humility. But I wonder, in the story of Christ, is a stone more important than a manger? You see, a stone was rolled away. Christ was embalmed, and he was put behind a stone, and he was in a tomb. But on the third day, he rose again from the dead, triumphing over the grave. The kings came. The wise men came. Perhaps they didn't understand all the symbolic nature of those gifts. But God was speaking through them. And to close with this evening, I want to ask you, what does this all mean for you? If the wise men should go to such lengths, coming hundreds of miles to worship Christ, will you not give of yourself? Will you not give of yourself entirely to worship him? If we see prophecy being fulfilled, only study the Bible and you'll see so many Old Testament prophecies that are fulfilled exactly, perfectly in the life of Christ. Should you not say, I will consider the Bible, I will think about it, I will ask myself, is this the word of God? And as you think about this story, above all, should you not think about the love of God in heaven? A God who so loved this world in its darkness, in its sin, that he will give an indescribable gift, his very son. His son would join himself to human nature. The God-man would be born, son of Adam, son of God. He would live a perfect life and yield that life upon the cross for us, paying the price for our sins, that we might go free, that we might be forgiven, and that we might one day go to heaven. Is this not good news for all the world? Jews first were given the message through the angels to the shepherds, but then the message came to these Gentile wise men. It's a message for all the world. What will be your response? Will you believe the message? And will you worship the infant Christ, who is now no longer an infant, but reigning in glory in heaven? Will you not worship him? Amen.